This podcast is intended to motivate, educate, support, and inspire you on your journey towards inner peace. We are not medical professionals, and we do not offer any medical advice. If you are suffering from a psychological or medical condition, please seek the advice of a licensed medical professional.
Welcome back to A Witch, A Mystic, and A Feminist. Today, we are joined by Christine Daisy Lemler. Daisy is a Reiki master and healer. And in addition to that, Daisy is a certified yoga instructor, tarot reader, theta talk therapist, and psychic. Welcome to the show.
Thanks, guys.
Hi, Daisy.
Hi.
So I also want to let the audience know, Daisy is the first person who ever gave me Reiki. It was at the very beginning of my spiritual awakening, and not to sound dramatic, but kind of dramatic. You know the movie The Craft, when the young lady goes running into the shop and is like, I need help. That was me. That was me running into to our local crystal shop. And there was Daisy. And I was like, I need help. I don't know what's going on. I think I'm going crazy. And so I actually had my first Reiki session with her. She is absolutely amazing, to the point where I have referred a lot of my family to her, and so she is our family healer.
If we could just get a reenactment on TikTok of that exact moment, I would really appreciate it.
I love it.
The running in, the drama. I just need to see it.
I'm like running and going, I think I'm going crazy. And I believe that those were actually the words that I said to you. I was like, I don't know what's going on. I think I'm going crazy. Do you get that often? I know you got that with me.
Oh, yeah. People in crisis are the people that need the most support. So absolutely. Right. You know, when someone comes in and they are feeling off or they're needing support, like, isn't that the point where you want someone to come in and be able to hold you? So like,
yeah,
absolutely.
That's the moment when you were like, okay. And if, you know, that's like definitely about like co-regulation in your nervous system. So, you know, you come in and you're like this dysregulated high fly or flight. And then you come in and someone's like, oh, I'm chill. It's cool. Like, I got you. Then you can feel trustworthy of that person. You're like, all right, I think they seem like someone that could handle this.
Yeah.
Right. Absolutely. And again, one of the reasons why I refer family and friends to you, because I do have this trust with you where I trusted you in that moment, and we're working together again, but trusted you in that moment with my entire soul because felt like I was going crazy. But you've been a healer pretty much your entire life, correct?
I would say that when you kind of dive into the like label of healer and someone wants to like have an explanation cognitively about that, we all are healers. Like, we all can heal ourselves. We can all radiate a frequency that feels healing and loving and supportive. So yes, I'm an oldest cousin. I'm an only child. So I've always kind of been responsible and take care of other people. So I feel like that was my early in life training. And I love my parents, but they aren't the most emotionally intelligent people. And so I definitely like had to do that for myself. And so I learned early on how to be that space holder.
So that's what made you turn to Reiki and tarot and yoga and all the things? Or is there more to that story?
I would say that there's a lot more to that story.
Sorry, that's a loaded question.
I mean, a whole lifetime to get me here to where I am today. I think that in 2017, I had just like a deep spiritual awakening moment. And what that means is just like, I was aware that my life wasn't what I wanted it to be. I was married. I had a small child. And I had chosen what I had thought like society and what I thought I had wanted. And then when I was in the midst of it, like 3 years into a marriage, I was like, I feel like I'm dying in the middle of this. I'm not happy. I don't feel like I'm being heard or seen by my ex-husband now. But, you know, it was like, I don't want to do this anymore. And I totally changed my whole life in that moment. And in early 2017, like, it was like brewing. I started meditating every day and I was like, oof, there's something's going to change. And in March, just like we're in March right now. Like March is this renewal month. So it's like mm-hmm. I ended up finding out that I was in love with someone that I had been like I had known for 7 years. And I my husband at the time for this person, moved out and kind of began this whole new journey. And then I was just held by spirit, by source into this new life that I was kind of being birthed into. And at that point, mm-hmm. like I was so ecstatic to like be pursuing my happiness, what I consider my aliveness, that mm-hmm. even though like my marriage was falling apart and I have a small child that I had to like... For 2 months, I couldn't even live in a house that he was living in with me. And so like, I wasn't financially stable. I didn't work at that time, really. And so I did none of the things, you know, I was a certified yoga teacher, but I wasn't teaching actively. I was just going to be a stay-at-home mom. I actually have a stepson too. So like, I was taking care of both the kids. And it was like that traditional nuclear family thing. And I had remembered that, you know, like, it's not that I just was like, oh, all of a sudden now I'm spiritually aware and a psychic. It was like, I had told my ex-husband now, like when, before we got married, I want a very alternative type of life. But then we like got into these roles and that's not really what he wanted. And, you mm-hmm. know, to articulate that and to communicate that, none of that really happened. And then when I was like, so I'm going to let you know, this is not my perfect life, you know, but it was his perfect yeah. life. So mm-hmm. we had a divergence there. So at that point, when I was with this partner, he was also very spiritual. And he took me to Mount Shasta on our very first trip away that first weekend that I told, like, I kind of like broke the news to my friend that I was like, I think I'm in love with you and I want to, you know, see where this goes and I'm unhappy in my marriage. And he was like, yeah, let's see where this goes. And he took me to Shasta that first weekend when I told my ex-husband now, like, I don't want to be married to you anymore. I'm not in love with you. We went to Shasta. And on the trip home from Shasta, Shasta's like this spiritual center. People will go. Mm-hmm. It's just like, you know, Mount Kailash or the Himalayas. People know that like mountains hold this kind of spiritual frequency, you know. So I went to Shasta with him. I had never gone before. And then we, on the way home, we were driving back. And he had a friend that was a psychic too. Like that person communicated with angels. And so he had like a vision. Well, he's like literally driving us home from Shasta after I had left my ex-husband. And he was like, oh, I'm being told by my friend, like the angels are like communicating to him and then to me from them, to me directly from my partner at the time, right? You're going to work at a healing center. And I was like, okay, sure, sounds good. And I've been a person who like literally takes a little bit of information and if it feels good for me, I'm good. Like I don't need to have a whole explanation. Some people get very caught up in like the needing to have it all logically understood. I tend to guess, right? I tend to go on like blind faith sometimes, which I can't say that that's everyone's MO or the best, you know, route for everyone. But for me, it's worked out pretty good so far. And so, yeah, I currently work at a place that's a healing place. That's a healing center. You know, that's mm-hmm. part of the name of it. And, all of that was just like the beginning of an unfolding of like me starting to work. Like my friend, she was like, oh, my friend's looking for like a yoga teacher. Can you come and interview with them? I was across the street having lunch one day and I saw that they had finally opened because they weren't open for a while. They were rebranding. The healing center was changing its whole setup from what it had been to the new thing that it was becoming. And then I walked in the very first day. I was the very first person to meet her. And I was like, hi. So I was told that you guys might need a yoga teacher. And that was my first part of just being there in the center, teaching yoga. And then from there, I started doing tarot readings. I became attuned to Reiki. And it's just kind of when you are in a flow of trusting the universe and there's like a 360 or a 180 moment and you mm-hmm. just go with it. Sometimes the most beautiful things can unfold from there. Were they always easy? No. But I mean, I am who I am today because I just was like, okay, let's go. Let's see what life wants to give me in the aliveness.
I love that attitude. It's something that I try to have, but I think I'm between Marlena and you in like the blind faith and logical, like I'm kind of in the in between. Yeah. So I can go either way.
Oh, I've had moments lately, especially where like just this last year, it was really difficult for me. And it was like feeling like I had another death moment and not knowing or feeling like I could be connected to that part of me that has that like I can always have a seed of faith, but sometimes it's really hard to feel like the uncovering of it and the growing. Like you're just like, oh, it's buried. Where is it?
Yeah.
I don't feel it.
Yeah. I think we've all been there.
Yeah. 2020 took a toll on everybody and we're just kind of feeling the repercussions of it.
Right. Yes, for sure.
And so for me, 2020 was when I really started getting into tarot and using that as a tool for my healing. Tarot for you. So did you start getting into tarot while working at the healing center?
I actually got my first tarot deck when I was 18, but I was like, I went to church for 10 years, like to 18. I had maybe encountered a Ouija board once and then we stopped going when I was 18. We had kind of like a whole like, we broke free from my dad and I broke free from the like church. It's kind of like a cult a little bit, but you know, like, my dad's like this like cowboy rebel. So he would be like, yeah, we're going to church, but church doesn't get to tell you what to do. Cause they didn't want us going to dances. They didn't want to go us going to like be friends with people that are like, you know, secular or whatever. And
yes.
And then so like having this rebellious attitude in the midst of being in a space that was like authoritarian is hilarious because it's like, well, I lived outside of the system. And so I've always lived outside of the system, even though I'm in the system. So it's kind of like it's always been seated within me to do that. And so when I was 18, I got a tarot deck, but I never really got too far into it. And then I picked it up again. Again, like 2017, I started getting crystals again. As a child, I played with crystals. My dad added like a jar, like a rock jar, and I always would like play with them. And so it was like a revamp of like that child part of me that wanted to come back out. And like, I started reading tarot for people that came into the shop. I started doing henna tattoos because that was something that I liked doing on the side. And so that just kind of all developed. And like the owner of the shop encouraged me to get Reiki attuned. And then I took like an Udemy class about it. And Udemy is just like an online learning platform. So we want to think that spiritual Reiki attunement and like Reiki is something that's only for certain people. Well, all of us have energy flow, like a life force that we can direct. And attunement just allows you to direct it more purposefully and more intentionally because you're learning about like feeling into your body and feeling as what is the energy telling me or what is this when I'm doing work on someone else, what is their body telling me or their spirit telling me? And certain people who are psychics or people who work as healers will have different types of messages. They are tuned in different ways. They're sensitive in certain ways or they'll see things that are different than other people. So we have to just recognize that our intuition, our clairvoyance, our clairsentience, it all comes in different ways.
Right.
And everyone has their own. It's not that I'm separate or different or special. Like God's not like, oh, you're chosen and everyone else, nah, screw you guys. Like that's not how it works. But again, like I've cultivated this just like practice with anything. When you practice something a bunch of times, like when you practice the tarot, you're going to understand the meaning of the cards. Like I've even gone to the point where I teach people about tarot and how to read tarot for themselves. Now, tarot combines a lot of things. You can talk about symbology, occultism. You can talk about numerology, symbolism. When you look at the cards, they have different, like I have a deck, the Wild Unknown deck, and they have animals on it. So then I use animal symbology a lot. So it's about reading into what is coming through as the base message and just kind of drawing more out of it and just sitting with it and seeing kind of what it wants to tell you, if that makes sense.
It totally does.
It does.
So it makes sense for me because, you know, I am into tarot. One of the things though that I find is, and it's probably because I'm always so in my own head, is the confidence to read for other people. You know, read for family and friends. But then, you know, when something is validated or whatever, then I totally freak out. And I'm like, wait, what?
Yeah.
Sorry. Side note. But, you know, like having the confidence. So did you just naturally have the confidence to be like, yeah, I'm totally going to do this. And, you know, here we go.
Yeah. People ask me about that, right? I'm a Leo sun, Leo moon. So Leos tend to be very confident people. And then that can, in its shadow side, move to arrogance. But I've always felt like I was, even as a child, I was like the person who would be like helping other people learn subjects or understand things. Mm-hmm. So that's like pretty naturally how I'm placed on this earth. Mm-hmm. So I feel that, you know, being able to read for people was something that feels exciting for me, as opposed to like, ooh, am I going to get it right? Like the perfectionist kind of takes over and it's like, you better get this right, because if they listen to you and you mess up, then that's it. You're going to mess up their whole entire life. I always like to,
no pressure. That's exactly what I think.
Right.
I'm like, I have to be perfect. If someone's coming to me for a reading, then, you know, I have to tell them exactly the right thing so that I don't blow up their world.
Right. That's a lot of pressure.
Right.
I like to say instead that if any of the information doesn't feel like it resonates for you, then you can leave it behind, because that's kind of how it works with energy reading. Like you're pulling things from the field. But that person could have been with someone else. You could be reading energy from somewhere else. Like we don't know as much as we think we know sometimes. Right. And it's almost perfect to just be like, yeah, this stuff came through, but I don't know. Like maybe it's true. Maybe it's not. Is that feel true for you? And that person gets to respond. And so then they become an active participant in their own healing. And that's when it's actually impactful. When they get to be like, yeah, you know what? That does resonate like this for me. And they get to tell you about themselves.
So when someone gets a reading and is just totally quiet and gets it.
Oh, yeah, right? Like someone's hold on.
And I'm laughing because Christy had her first reading last year. And she was just like, okay.
Hey. So you got to give me my credit. So it was my first reading, and like you, I did grow up in the church. So it was like, you know, readings and psychic and tarot and all of that was like evil. Like it was bad. It was of the devil. Right. So anyway, so I've come a long way since then.
Yes, you have.
And my first reading, you know, I don't know. There was some doubt there, right? There was still some like old, like seated kind of yuckiness as I'm having this reading. And so instead of like, I was just like, okay, I'm just going to be quiet. And she was amazing who gave me the reading. But, you know, at one point she's like, does any of this resonate? Like I was just, you know, I'm like, yes, actually it does. It does. It does. It does. Right. but I was trying not to give too much away, you know? And then I was like, you're giving nothing away. She's like, this is legit. Come on. But yes. And so I told them all the story and now I'm, you know, I was silent for the first half of the reading. I'm sorry. I won't do it again.
I'm totally giving you crap, though, because I find it funny. And
well, now I've learned, right? Like, and what you said about the energy and you're pulling energy, but that person could have been with someone else. You could be pulling from somewhere else. So really not all of that is going to be meant for that person. And so like knowing that now makes a ton of sense to me. And there's going to be pieces you're going to leave behind and pieces that you will take with you.
I
know more.
It makes it a whole lot of pressure. Well, also like I've had clients come in and they don't give anything away, but that's also a closed energy field. So certain people don't want you to read their field. Although they come in and then you're like, is this really what you want? Or are you just like going against what you want? Because we do that too.
Yeah.
Like how often do we say yes to something and we're like, this is actually a no for me. And that's an important thing for us to learn as well. If someone comes into our field and we feel violated by them and the information that they give, maybe you weren't really open to it and you needed to learn what that feels like for you.
Yeah. And that's entirely possible because the second half of the reading was a completely different feeling. So that seems very true.
Right. I mean, I think that it's important that if we're reading someone and we're like, oh, it just feels like you're a little bit closed off, or people come in with expectations, because I'm not a I'm not the kind of psychic or reader. Like, I don't even necessarily call myself a psychic. It's not that you can't call me that. I will literally say things to people. They're like, I think that in my own head. And I'm like, right? That's what I heard. And oh gosh, I lost my thread. There's a cat on the roof over here and I just lost my thread of thought.
No problem. I think you were going into how you're probably not a predictive reader.
Right. I'm not a predictive reader.
We've had that conversation before where you know, people will come to you and be like, tell me my future. It's like, okay, let me look at my crystal ball.
Well, people will be like, should I be with my partner? And I'm like, if you're coming here asking me that, what is going on for you that you do not feel comfortable with your partner? Like, there's a reason why we ask certain questions. And then that kind of almost goes into, well, all of my work kind of like weaves in together. So then I kind of am like, what is going on for you that you're asking that question? Now we can start getting curious about that. And the tarot is really wonderful in some ways because it is a way to be an objective third party as opposed to like a witness to whatever is important to tell that person. And that's how I do my reading is like, do you want me to just give you, like, I do cold readings all the time, which is no one asks me a question. It's just like, okay, let's just see what cards want to tell you. Which can be also very intimidating for people because it's like, direct me a little bit. What do you want? Right?
Yeah.
Or, and then like some people have been to a psychic, let's say, and that person was like, you're going to die at this time. You're going to have this many kids, right? Expectations. That's what I was talking about. Like someone has a certain, well, I thought it was going to be like this. And it's like, well, so then you weren't open to the information in whatever way was actually for your highest and best. And when I do like an invocation, like a prayer before I do readings for people. And when I weave the energy field together, I'm asking for the information that's in your highest benevolence for like the best for you. And that doesn't mean necessarily that's going to be comfortable, that you're going to enjoy. I have literally had someone come in and they were like going to die. And then like the death card came up in their reading. And I was like, oh, God, how do you say this stuff delicately? But somehow when you've tapped in and you're not allowing your stuff to get in the way of what you're trying to relay as information to people, you can put things in a certain way that feels at least safe for them to hear.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, because, man, that's been, it's been interesting. Like some, I've talked to people who've had children that have passed over and sometimes I like, the message from your child who's passed over, you know, and I don't see myself as a person that talks to people who have passed over, but you do get messages sometimes from those people or ancestors or spirit guides. And sometimes it's galactic information. Sometimes it's cosmic information and which can feel a little like out of the linear field, out of like how we exist on this earth. We're like, quantum, cosmic, what does that mean? Like,
right. And so I was just going to, you and me both. So yeah, you're talking about cosmic galactical energy and information. What is that really?
Right. So when you're referring to that, and we have a lot of movies that have been coming out, like Everything Everywhere All at Once or Spider-Man and the Multiverse. So you're kind of, we're beginning to, as a collective, understand that like with string theory and quantum physics, that we're actually connected in many different ways, and the past and the future kind of maybe coexist at the same time. So you could be living on this earth plane on your physical body in this way, but there could be versions of you on other earths, you know, in other ways, interacting with people or like lifetimes, like past lifetimes. They may be, instead of thinking them in linear time, you could be thinking them as if they're happening at the same time as right now. So galactic, cosmic, and I'm attuned to like a galactic or cosmic Reiki attunement. So like I've even up-leveled from the Japanese Usui lineage to a person who had their own attunement to a cosmic Reiki attunement. And then they attuned me, which just is like attunement. Let's maybe define that a little bit. Is just like you're basically embedding symbology and knowledge in someone's in their energetic field for them to be attuned to a higher frequency, and higher frequencies vibrate faster. And so that's how you can be open to information that is maybe past lives or, you know, multidimensional, because we're multidimensional beings. And that means that we don't exist in just this timeline. We exist in many timelines. Now, some people don't believe that. And that's fine. No one's forcing you, but I do. I believe that. Right. And so for me, that means that I can tap into information. Like, I may not know anything about someone's experience with something, but I can also draw information that is important for them to hear or is pertinent for them to hear, even though I haven't had that physical experience in my lifetime. And that's, I think, people sometimes call that Akashic records. And that's just like the record of all knowledge ever accumulated by humanity throughout all time and space. So when you're talking about galactic or cosmic, you're talking about just being attuned and open to hearing all information, whether it makes sense or not, to you in your physical understanding, the brain cognitive. And I think that that kind of open-mindedness is also very Aquarian, which is like we're moving from the Piscean age to the Aquarian age. And Aquarius is very much attuned to collective understanding, psychicness, telepathy, doing good for the goodness of all mankind, as opposed to like what we've had a very self-centered kind of.
Right.
I mean, you can talk about the patriarchy here easily because it's about suppression, war culture, and it's about everyone being individualized. But what has that really given us? You know, what has that really gifted Earth? And I would say that Earth is very much a multidimensional frequency. She's quantum. She exists. And we can see, you know, when we look out the window and we see snow on the hills when we haven't ever seen, like we haven't seen snow in 30, 50 years or something crazy, like since the 70s, it hasn't snowed or
70s,
you know, like, well, obviously things are shifting and changing and we can have a fear mindset around it. Or we can begin to, again, like that trust exercise with the universe. Well, you have to trust Earth too. Like she's changing, she's shifting, and we're along for the ride. And it's important that we start to kind of attune ourselves. I mean, I feel that really deeply that we need to return to kind of more earth-centered practices like indigenous cultures. They weren't feeling separate. I was listening to someone talking about how our literacy has like gone downhill. We might be literate in technology. We might be literate in, you know, verbose books and things. But what about reading the sunlight? Or how the wind is moving, or, you know, feeling the earth and understanding, or seeing how animals or bird patterns are, you know, if they're, if the birds are chattering, if they're like disruptive, well, then there must be a predator around. But we have gotten really disconnected from that part of ourselves, even though evolutionary for thousands of years, that was the language that we spoke in, you know? And so I think that if we could go back to kind of more earth-centered types of literacy, that we would have more connection to both ourselves and each other.
I love that because, you know, we talk about frequently how we feel when we're in nature and being out and being very present in where you're at outside, especially like when I'm hiking and the birds flying and the wind blowing and, you know, just taking in that moment and grounding myself in that. So
I
totally feel you on that.
Yeah.
The other day it was raining. Was this yesterday? And I'm like, wow, I forgot how much like how like cleansing and anointing rain is. Right. And I was thinking like, just in terms of, I don't care about my hair in these moments. Like I don't care about mascara running down my face. Like I don't need an umbrella. I'm happy to stand in the rain. Right. And let it anoint me. And it was just one of those like weird things that I just haven't really stopped and just been. And we haven't had a lot of rain. Well, we did. We have now. But like in the past, it's been so dry. And I'm like, I got used to the dry. I got used to, you know, kind of the famine, I guess. And then forgot to look up when it was raining.
Yeah, I love that you called it anointing. It was almost like a little ceremony. It was very sacred in that moment, right?
Yeah.
And we can have those moments, but it takes a lot of presence. It takes us to be not looking at our phone or not thinking about what we have to do next, right? And if you don't care about how you look or the image that you're projecting, right? And you're more in the moment of like I've even taught my son to kind of like talk to trees. Like, go, what is that tree saying to you? Just put your hand on it. Give it a hug. Like, there's a lot of co-regulation that you can do with nature. Nature is like proven to be, like, if you go to the ocean, the free ions that are in the air, the smell, you are literally calming yourself down. You are clearing mm-hmm. your yep. energy. Water is purification. It's like a type of purification. It's cleansing, you know. Right. And I'm a person who goes like to the hot springs or the ocean a lot. I actually feel like the ocean calls to me. I do a lot of like mm-hmm. work of like release work with water because that's its natural tendency. Like mm-hmm. if we can remember, again, these are these earth-centered practices. If we can remember that we're not separate, you know, my friend asked me one time, like, because it's sometimes really difficult when you're sensitive to be in big, large groups of people or to feel like you can feel a lot when you go out and be with a lot of people.
Right.
And especially depending on how they are, what they're doing. Like, I don't go to bars. Mm-hmm. I don't drink. So it's like, I won't go put myself in an environment like that. But sometimes I can feel very alone, even though I'm in a mm-hmm. crowd of people. Now, when I go out into nature, let's say I'm in the hot springs, and then there's this one part in one of the hot springs I like to go to, that there's this beautiful fig tree, and they've built like an altar with Kuan Yin and all these like offerings. And you can just sit there in this cold plunge and be looking at the tree and like the wind rustling, and you can have a whole sacred moment where you're just right. communing with nature, and you don't feel at all disconnected. You don't feel at mm-hmm. all separate from everything that is. But again, like, because we live in boxes, like we live separate from nature a lot of the time, we forget mm-hmm. that's your home. Like, Earth is your home. Yeah. No wonder we can right. pollute her, or we can be harming each other, because we've forgotten that we mm-hmm. are all children of the same planet. So
mm-hmm.
are we gonna, we need people that are in their healing to remember that in order for us to change that story.
Sorry. I'm like, I'm just sitting here listening to you. I'm like, you are amazing. Keep talking.
I know. I'm like, let's just take a moment of silence for how beautiful that was.
Yeah. No, absolutely. And that is beautiful and says a lot, you know. And I know for me in the last few years, the way that I treat Mother Earth is so different than what I did, you know, maybe 5 years ago, 10 years ago, being a lot more conscious of what I'm doing, because she is taking care of us.
Yeah.
Yeah. I always start with grounding practices when I work with someone, because when we're not in our body, when we're disassociated or we're numb, we're in fight or flight, whatever, you know, state that we're in, we're dysregulated in whatever way. Grounding is the first way to get you to feel safe. Connecting you to mm-hmm. Earth is the first way to help you to feel safe and to be invited into safety. And mm-hmm. If we don't feel safe, we can't feel open. You know, when people right. work with yeah. me, I'm always inviting them into safety every single time, no matter how many times every week. With I have clients that I right. see every week. I'm like, let's do some grounding, because when we start immediately going with like, these are all the things that I've been thinking, and these are all the things that's been going on for me, which I will let people do. It's totally okay. Like, when you came in the other day, you were like, oh my God, these are the things. And I was like,
yes, yes. I was like, I word vomited all over you. It's just like, okay, this is what's going on, and blah, 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 blah. And you're like, okay, hold on. Let's ground.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, okay.
And you can do that first, because sometimes the urgency of whatever feels like crisis to us is what we need to just, we just need to say it. We just need to be able to like bring it into the safe container that's already been kind of begun before you even came in. Like, when mm-hmm. when you're matching energetic fields, you're already in my field before we even meet. And even sometimes right. I'll mm-hmm. get cues from people. I think I got a cue from you before you even made an appointment. I was like, oh, it's time. I'm feeling them in my energy field.
Yep.
You know, and people can be very yeah. present where they're just like, here I am. And I'm like, yes, there you are. Thank you for telling me. You told me before you even told me physically. And that's right. part of, and I think like I was saying with Aquarian energy and telepathy, now we think of telepathy as like reading other people's minds. And I'm going to blow mm-hmm. your mind a little bit, and I hope you like it.
Perfect.
The reason why we are all capable of being telepathic, which means you can just be open to reading other people's thoughts and in their energy field. We all have that capability. However, when we felt unsafe, when we've been traumatized, when we have a lot of really dark thoughts. We don't want people reading our mind. We don't want them in our energy fields. We don't want to connect to them. We don't know how they're going to respond. We don't know if we'll be rejected or abandoned by other people. But when you've kind of done a lot of work and you find yourself open, I have been working a lot with vulnerability lately, and just like putting out poetry and putting out kind of what my own internal shadow work has been out into the world. Because what it does is it says, I'm a safe person to tell really things that feel really heavy or hard for you, or things that are struggles, because I've also been there and I've also done those things. And so when we can open up, like when we feel comfortable with people being able to see into our minds, our thoughts, our hearts, then we have that open channel and telepathy can happen. You know, between me and my son, I feel like we communicate with a lot of nonverbal communication, because he was the first person to teach me unconditional love. It wasn't my mother. It wasn't my partner. It was my son. When he was born, I was like, this is what it feels like to be loved without condition. And only a child really can come into the world like that. You know, we've had conditionings as adults as to what you're allowed to show and what you're not allowed to show. But a child, they don't have those conditionings until they're given them. And so that, what I would say, that was also a spiritual awakening moment when my child was born. Because then it was like, there's no going back. Oh, everyone's been loving me conditionally my whole life. And I, that doesn't feel so great. I don't want to continue that being my only story, that I have to be loved in condition for who I am or what I am only. So telepathy is possible. And in this Aquarian age, I think as we evolve as humans into whatever we're going to evolve into, whatever the dream is that we're dreaming now of unity, of love, of peace for the future, we're going to remember that being psychic and being telepathic and being open to hearing other people on deep levels is actually our natural placement.
And that is, I mean, so I love you so much. Like, you were saying that you are putting poetry out into the world because you want to be a safe space. You want to, you know, and that is exactly what I have been doing as well. And it's such a vulnerable spot to be in because you're airing this out, right? Like you're airing all your deepest thoughts and into the world. But that is exactly what I have been feeling, is that I want this unity on this deeper level. I want this connection on a deeper level, because that is where we should be connected. We should be connected on that level. And you said it so beautifully, and I'm just like, oh, I just love her.
But I knew, like, especially when you started putting your poetry out, Daisy, I was like, oh my goodness, this is Christy. Christy is Daisy. Daisy is Christy.
Right. We all feel really deeply, and we've all been in harm, and we've all been in neglect, and we've all been abandoned. And then we've all desired, what I've been working on cultivating is intimacy with people. Not necessarily it have to be sexual intimacy, but like a deeper level of connection with people. And I was asking my friend, who is also like a psychic and a healer, I was like, sometimes I have this idea of people and I really admire them. You know, like they say, like, don't meet your heroes.
Yeah.
So I met someone that I had really, you know, I love their podcast. They have such an expansive kind of thought. They're like thought. I like the idea of being like a thought leader. I think that's really interesting to me, to be like a person who leads people into new areas of exploration that they haven't been in before. But then also, all thoughts have always been thought before. So it's also kind of one of those things where nothing is new, but at the same time, it can be explored in new ways. Like science almost pushes that, right? And so I met this person and they weren't very present with me. They didn't have the capability of like dropping in with me. And that was really disappointing to, I would say, my little girl, because I was like, I admire you so much. And it may be like a little bit of fangirling, but that doesn't mean that like, it means that I love you. And it means that I'm not trying to like, make you or force you to be anything to me or for me, but I would love to just be open to exploring and talking and finding more out about who you are and why you think like how in, like, you're so interesting to me. And so, I mean, it was a busy weekend. I'm sure that I could tell you there's a million other things that was probably going on for that person that they couldn't do it, you know. But yeah. I have to, my friend was saying, you know, my friend who was helping me, like the intuitive healer friend, because even healers need to talk to other healers, right?
Right.
And then like yeah. having a healer's healer, like those are the primo people, right? So she was just like, there was an image they were upholding and they couldn't let that image go mm-hmm. to meet you in that kind of intimacy and depth. And I was like, oof, right?
Yeah.
Performance is so strongly knit into us. I think that's part of the patriarchy kind of suppression is like mm-hmm. performance Agreed. Over like really truly being authentic mm-hmm. and like yep. looking someone in the eyes and really being like, I just, I'm here. I'm a presence and I'm here for whatever you want to tell me, I think is
yep.
One of the biggest gifts you can give people.
Yeah.
We were talking about performance when I came to see you recently. And in that, I told you, when I speak to therapists, when we've done family therapy or I've done my own therapy, I'm really good at playing people and saying what I think they want to hear, or at least with, you know, my therapy, not being my authentic self or not being like, this is where I really hurt mm-hmm. kind of thing. And so when I met with you and I word vomited all over you, you know, again, felt being in that safe space, but we were talking a lot about performance and being able to drop that guard. Yeah. So I'm really glad that you went into that because I thought that that was super important and,
yeah.
you know, something I also had recognized or, you know, and it's also hard to lie to a psychic. I mean, you know.
Yes, that's true.
Well, and, you know, it's a hard thing to strip away too, because perception, like mm-hmm. how people perceive you or perceive, that's the performance part, right? Mm-hmm. So just being able to deconstruct that and be okay in this is exactly who I am and take it or leave it kind of, you know, maybe not that strong of a mentality, but, you know, is such tough work. Mm. It really mm-hmm. is. And it's something that I've dealt with my entire life. Yeah. I don't need to be who you think I need to be or who I think you think I need to be.
Right.
If you follow that at all.
yes.
But, you know, but if I show up in this moment as my authentic self, are you still going to fangirl over me? Mm-hmm. Are you still going to think I'm super interesting? Are you still going to want to like sit with me and get to know me on a deeper level? And that's all very scary, you know, yeah. very vulnerable.
That's actually a really good point. I never thought about it from that point of view, but right. Because when someone is like fully present and then it's mm-hmm. almost intimidating to be with me, I feel like sometimes because I'm like, especially when it's not like a session where you're supposed to just like let me in, right? When it's mm-hmm. like I'm trying to be friends with people, then it's like a totally different, it's a totally different dynamic there. But I think right. that yeah. what we're talking about at the root of performance a lot of the time is that people pleaser, or that fact that mm-hmm. you had to go into fawn, which is one of the ways that we fight or flight, you know, freeze mm-hmm. or fawn. Fawn is like, you feel threatened at the base of yourself in some way. So you just kind of go with whatever someone else has, like that's their demand or command, right? You go with mm-hmm. it because you are otherwise you're going to feel like your life is threatened in some way. Mm-hmm. And so people pleasing is a huge coping mechanism that we've all developed. It's actually incredibly intelligent. We have to love that part of ourselves because it's actually, you know, the chameleon aspect, which we at one time maybe we're like, oh, I'm like a chameleon. I can just be anywhere and do anything. Mm-hmm. Like I am that person too. Like I can just like walk into a space and like observe and take in the information and then fit myself into it. Mm-hmm, but mm-hmm. now what I've kind of understood in my authenticity, like instead of performing in that way, I get to always be me. Now, whether I want to be mm-hmm. on camo mode, like in camouflage mode and stealth mode. Or if I right. want to be out, now it's very rare, like just the way that I dress or who I am, I tend to be a person who kind of is just like in the world and placed. And so I also know that that's just okay. It's just safe for me to mm-hmm. be that. And right. when you are in people please mode, when you are looking for external validation, and this I've had like a big healing around understanding my need for external validation, especially as a healer. Like, of course, when someone resonates with us, when I just had a moon circle and I had, I taught yoga on Friday and the people came in and they were like, oh my God, that was so great. I loved that. We feel the juiciness of that kind of environment that, and I created that, right? Like I placed that, but also it's not necessarily of me. So this is the important thing for us as healers. And I've had like a big realization around that is if I come from a space of righteousness, like, or arrogance, or I'm like, oh, you guys are misbehaving or you don't know what you're doing. And let me show you how this is the way that we're supposed to do it. I'm also not in my ethics. I'm not in my personal ethical standards. And so I've had to be like humbled, like becoming a healer. And that means everyone, you get to be humbled over and over again where you think you know something and you don't. And being able to work in a clean way with people cleanly in the energy, right, is like just meeting people if they are performing or if they are. It's about understanding that within yourself, you are also that. You've had an aspect of that. And you actually have a lot of compassion for yourself and that other person as a reflection of you. And people pleasing, like we said, is a way of keeping yourself safe. You're trying to be accepted in a world where you feel maybe fundamentally abandoned. You feel like there's a void within you. You feel like there's a lack fundamentally with you. I've been a person who's always been kind of on the outskirts of everything. I was always like friends with people in high school who were always the cast-offs or people in college. And I was like, people like that always felt safe with me. Well, that's, you know, that energy of like, I'm also that, but at the same time, like I could fit into any environment and make friends, but I don't reject people in a way that feels unsafe for them, right? So you can, you don't have to perform, but if you do perform, that's okay too, right? But again, you're only letting me in as a healer so much. So if you are closed off or you have expectations, I'm only going to be able to meet to that point of view. And you've already created a wall. Image creates like a wall. Yeah. And it's very difficult to break that wall down because what you're going to have to do is open up your heart and let people see into that part of you. And then that's when you were like, oh, vulnerability, great. I don't know if I want to do this.
But also, like, if you don't do it, you're never going to meet other people who are in the same space as you, right? Like, or who want the same things as you. So you're creating kind of your own disaster. If you, I don't know, for me anyways, because the minute I started opening up and the minute I started putting myself out there, there were people, you know, some people that I had never had like a close relationship with that were like, wow, this is what you're doing is amazing. This is amazing, you know, really reaching out to me. And then I had other people who I thought were super close, not reaching out to me. Right. And not, you know, so just finding that and finding that there are people out there that want that same thing, that want the same connection, the intimacy, the, you know, connecting with nature, all the things you want and you're excited about, you just have to be open to it. Like you're saying, you can't create that wall.
Right. Well, a wall keeps things in and out. That's how walls work. So if you have a wall, then you're within your, that's what that isolation really does, right? You're like nothing. Okay. I'm protected, but then nothing can get in. All right. So you're so protected that no one can actually hold you or like you can't really rest in anyone's like support because you won't let them in. And I've been like that too, because it has felt that people weren't capable to hold me, that they had all their own stuff. So there was no ability for me to be held. So I always have learned how to hold myself. But that also is exhausting. That's also very disconnecting because it's like, I would love to be seen by other people. And again, like you're saying, the minute that you open that door, you like break the wall down a little bit, you create like a... What is the little thing that goes down the castle, right? Like you like
you put the drawbridge.
Yeah, you put the drawbridge down. You like, you know, you're like, okay, I'm going to let people come in. And this is the thing with safety is like, if you deem yourself safe, if you understand that you're going to be the person to say, hey, I'm not available for this, or this doesn't feel good for me, or the way that you're speaking to me feels really harmful, then when you do have a down drawbridge, right, and you let people in, then it's a matter of you having discernment as to whether or not who you share with, who you let in and who you don't. And instead of like, they're just being a blanket, nobody can get in, nobody can get out kind of a thing. Mm-hmm. And the minute you open up that frequency of saying like, here's who I am, here's about what I've been thinking and feeling at my heart of hearts, and that resonates with other people, but it doesn't resonate with other, like certain people, yes, certain people, no.
Yeah.
That's natural. But we're so stuck in resistance to change. And good news, bad news, change is only going to continue happening for the rest of your life.
Yeah,
absolutely.
You can't just be the one same thing. And if you do stay that way, that's actually a stagnancy. And it's incredibly like choking. Like it's very bonding to just be like, I just have to be like this all the time. And it can take years. I mean, it took you years to get to where you are. Years of conditioning, years of programming, years of this is what's right, this is what's right, this is what's wrong, this is wrong. So having a lot of patience with ourselves in the unwinding is really essential, because as much as we want to quantum leap and just be like, I'm healed, woo, done. How do I just heal all the things? Oh, that's it. Now I'm going to be able to manifest the life that I want. Like, you know, that's a nice idea, but you're going to have to go through change, and there will be resistances. And then also the things that happen to you are going to feel so heavy and dark sometimes that they're going to stretch your limit of what you can feel that you can be capable of.
Yeah.
And it can be incredibly like, you feel like you're being drugged on the ground. Like you're like, what is happening right now? I don't like this, but it's going to lead to a breakthrough that you probably couldn't even imagine on the other side of it.
I'm like, I really want to just quantum leap sometimes.
It's possible. You can, you know, I heard that March was a good month for quantum leaping. So
I know I keep hearing this month is, and especially like 2023, there's just a lot going on astrologically and you know, with the energy, and also stepping into spring and getting out of winter and getting out of that hibernation mode and stuff. So
yeah, quantum leaping is all about just kind of recognizing a pattern of behavior, a relationship that you've been having to a person, place, or thing, or an attitude or a behavior, and then deciding that you're finally going to stop resisting letting it go. That you're just going to be like, okay, you know what? If I really want to be better, to feel better within myself, this isn't what's going to lead me to that. And then you just, if it doesn't have the hold on you that it used to, then it is easier for you to just let it go.
Yeah.
Right.
And so then you quantum leap, which I think we want to think of that TV show when we were kids.
We do. Yeah.
Where I'm going to like be wearing different clothes.
Are we dating ourselves a little bit? Yeah.
That's like string theory right there. You know, I was watching like Unsolved Mysteries, and I was like, no wonder we were all obsessed with like the occult and ghosts and stuff. Mm-hmm. I was like, if we were watching this as kids.
And we were. We were children. Yeah. That was like the nightly television show.
It was.
Like, you know, I'm like, oh, so we're watching something about a kid getting kidnapped. Okay. Yeah. There's my anxiety. Check.
Right. I mean, when I was 18, 9/11 happened. So then we had all of that stuff happen. You know, there is never a generation that is free from trauma, by the way.
Right.
Every generation has had world wars. Every generation has had times of famine or times of abundance. And we have gone through the pandemic, and our children have gone through that. My child was a kindergartner pandemic, and now we homeschool, you know. And so like our whole life is built around world traumas, world occurrences, things that happen, decisions that we make that color who we are. But if that becomes our only story, if we only are shouting about our trauma and we're only speaking about our trauma, how are we going to, again, build a new world that's going to be a part of a dream of something different? And not from a space of disassociation, but from a space of like, again, that quantum leap. I'm going to have to change those things within me in order for that to spread out into the whole entire world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of A Witch, A Mystic, and A Feminist with our special guest, Christine Daisy. Tune in next week as we continue our conversation with Daisy, which will also include something very special for our listeners. Don't forget to check out our website, WMFpod.com, where you can learn more about our guests, listen to past episodes, read our blogs, and much more.